Today we're going and teaching again, you know, concerning the tongues is the door of the supernatural. We're going to go into an area of scripture that is very familiar to all of us, and especially, you know, spirit-filled people. And in 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Go to the 14th chapter. Now, one of the things is dealing with, and we're going to talk about some things specifically in this concerning, especially the move of God, if we're going to minister to people. The spirit-filled life is for the purpose to minister. That's what it's for. There is no point in being baptized in the Holy Ghost and you're not going to do anything with it. You know, you're just going to be the Christian who, you know, you don't, you know, I hear people get filled with the Holy Ghost and they'll say about talking to other people, well, I'm just not like that. Say, well, then you didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. You said you did, but you didn't. Because there's one thing is, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a lot of things changed in God operating through me. Now, if we sit down, and it's one of the things is to do is, when we read the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter preceding this, we need to understand that Paul was talking about things of the Spirit. He's not talking about natural things and things of the Spirit. He goes on to talk, he starts off talking about this manifestations of the Spirit. And I mean, if we looked at the 12th chapter, it says, starts off, now I have in the New King James, and the King James does the same. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Actually, the word gifts is not there. He's talking about things. I mean, you look at other translations, the word gifts was added here. Now, he talks about gifts, but what he's talking about is spiritual things. Now, concerning spiritual brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. See, if you're ignorant about things of the Spirit, you're going to have a problem in Christianity. It's going to be a trouble, for you're not going to understand a lot of things. There's a lot of things that are not going to go well for it. And so we need to understand this. The operations of the Spirit. You read down through, and I won't go through and read it, but he talks about there are diversities of gifts. There's different kinds of ministries and all those kinds of things. Diversities of activities. There's different things of the operations of the Spirit other than spiritual gifts. There's manifestations of, you know, there are gifts given that Jesus gave to men for apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. There's other manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to understand these things. The church has been very limited in its knowledge. And by doing so, the interpretation of Scripture really ends up lacking. And so when we're over here, we need to know he started off and he talked about these gifts and manifestations. Then he said about there's a body. In other words, we need the whole body. And why? Because of different giftings, not just, nobody takes out the giftings of the nine manifestations or gifts of the Holy Spirit. No, that's, people have different callings and things. There's diversity of activities. There's diversity of things. So in the whole body, there's differences of anointings and stuff. You go over in any ministry gift, any that Jesus gave to the church. There's different levels of apostles. There's different levels of prophets. There's different levels of evangelists. There's different anointings among them. See, everybody, they just put everything in one class. It doesn't operate like that. It never has. In the Old Testament, there were different levels of prophets. There were different levels of them. But, you know, people, they classify it and throw it all into the same. And what happens is this, people may be gifted in a certain area and they see another person who's gifted in that area and they think they ought to be duplicates. You're not. You're not duplicates. Your gift may be, I mean, we look prophets of the Old Testament and we come up to the prophet John the Baptist. And Jesus said he's the greatest prophet there ever was, yet he never prophesied about anything. He didn't prophesy about the future or none of that kind of stuff. He didn't do any of that. Well, so we know there's different levels, and yet Jesus said he was the greatest one. Well, everybody thought Elijah was the greatest one. Elijah and Elisha, boy, they're the big boys. Well, Jesus said not John the Baptist is. So what he was called to do, and so his calling is in uniqueness, and he was called to make the way for the Messiah that was coming. and was considered a higher level by Jesus Christ, I just assumed Jesus knew what he's talking about. So, you know, I'm going to go with Jesus on the subject. Men can have ideas and things. But we want to look. So he's talking about gifts. Then he went over and talked about love. And we want to understand this. Love must be the motivation of the gifts. So you understand. I want you to understand this about love if you get down to it. Love basis is this. Love is about your outward toward others. Your motivation toward others. Why? Because he's talking about ministry here. This is about ministry. This is not about, see, people get this and they get over in these subjects and it becomes about them. No, this isn't about you. It's about God using you not to help you, but you to help others. See, manifestations of the Spirit don't come for you. It's like my teaching and the anointing on me is not for me. It is not for me. See, if people get it wrong, they think, well, you know, God, you know, people will notice me. It's not about noticing you. It's about God. And so we're ministering to people. And so he talked about love, and love comes down to this basis. The operations of the gifts, the Spirit, the motive for doing it is love. That's why you do it. Because he says, well, it's not going to do you any good. You don't want love. They're the gifts. It doesn't work. Now, we need and want the gifts because he opens up in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter verse 1, he says, pursue love. In other words, pursue the motive about these gifts, because he said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, just think about it. He said, now, he spoke of the gifts. Now, Paul said specifically here, and we want to bring it in the context, he is talking about here in the church world, the church. So, because he was talking about these gifts and manifestations, they operate through the church. That's where it is. This love thing is about the church. And so he told them concerning this, we're supposed to be concerning desire spiritual gifts. Now that word desire, that Greek word there that is used, desire, it means to be zealous for, to burn with desire, to pursue ardently, to desire eagerly or intensely. Now, on the negative side, it's the same way. It could be for something bad in the same way you're doing after something bad in the same manner. But in this, it's talking about, in other words, the gifts. Now, I've heard people say, well, the most important thing is love. Well, if love was enough, why would we have gifts? Me loving people ain't enough. Jesus loved everybody, and it wasn't enough. And so you need to understand this. How are you about manifesting that God can manifest through you? How are you at that? Do you ever talk to God about that? Him being able to. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, here's one thing. A lot of people, you know, I want to go to witness to people. I'm going to tell you what. You need to become spiritual witness to people. You need manifestations of the gifts. We're going to talk about going to be around like Jesus. You show me where Jesus didn't go around and manifest gifts. Show me where he didn't. That's how you reach people. See, this is for the body of Christ. This is not for preachers. This is for the body of Christ. Everybody in the body is supposed to desire manifestations of the Holy Ghost to operate through them. Because if you could be a good witness without them, Jesus wasted his darn time. He didn't. Why would we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you don't need these things? Why would they be? And so we need to understand the importance. When I came into the kingdom, the manifestation of the Spirit, they wanted the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, you get some people, people who are more carnal in these areas. They wanted them to have manifestations, a gift. They liked the show. It wasn't necessarily for them to minister to somebody else. We wanted gifts. It's just like when I was in the Full Gospel Businessmen. Now, loads of those guys there, I mean, they were all different kinds of backgrounds. But manifestations of the gifts would operate through them. They weren't preachers or anything like that. I wasn't a minister at that time, or minister of the gospel. I mean, I knew God called me to it and that stuff. But I'd have manifestations. And these guys, the other guys, they would have manifestations of the Spirit. When we'd have in our meetings and stuff, to get other, we wanted to get other Christians. One of the things to do is get other people, the Christians that would come, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, and people who weren't saved, get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. But the whole thing is so God can manifest himself. If anything God wants to do is reveal himself supernaturally. If you are happy with a God that don't do much supernaturally, I'm just going to be clear, you don't know him well. You don't know him. See, we need to get this. There's many people, in fact, Ken Kasich and I were talking about this. There's many people who years ago knew God well, and today they don't. They don't know him well. They've gotten so far away from it, they really don't. They think they know about God, but they don't have his desires anymore. They don't have it because they really don't fellowship. You know, you get away from somebody for a while, and you can lose it with them, you know. And we need to understand this. So we're supposed to pursue it. He said, especially that you prophesy. Now we're talking about, we need to understand this thing. When we're talking about, he says this prophecy, he's not talking about something just from a natural standpoint. Prophecy, he's talked about gifts of the Spirit. This is a manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, one of the gifts that we're supposed to put up front is to be able to speak by the anointing of God. To talk by the anointing of God. And there's an anointing to do this. It isn't just something that happens. You know, in other words, he wouldn't have said that we should want to have that and do it if it wouldn't be something God has concerning these gifts, the gift of prophecy. It seems that it could just operate through anybody at any time. See, so many people, get this out of your mind for the gifts of the Spirit. What we have is this. Most people talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They look at some minister that God maybe manifests, certain gifts will come through him. There is a difference between somebody who has a healing anointing and someone who has gifts of the Spirit operate through them. They're completely different. They're completely different. Kenneth Hagin had an anointing by God where he was caught up in heaven and Jesus touched the palm of his hands. Now, when he ministered to people, the Lord told him this. He said, you tell people that you saw me, that I touched your hands, and the healing power is in your hands. And if you lay hand on them, and they believe that you saw me, and I did that, they'll be healed. It was going to require them faith. It was going to require them to have faith. That's what it was going to do. It wasn't just because he had a healing ministry. It required faith of people. Now, at the same time, he said there's times that the gifts would operate through him. And he said when the gifts went into operation, didn't matter who was believing what. See, there's a difference. Now, I want to say this to you sitting right here today. You're born again and Spirit-filled. I'm just telling you this. You're going to very seldom ever see God move from the standpoint to heal you that way. You're going to have to believe God. Amen. I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have to believe God. You know enough, you need to have to do it. The gifts of healing, Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, I didn't put gifts of healing in the church to heal the church. That's to heal the world. He said the church is supposed to be healed. Because by his stripes are healed. You know, you're well. You know, he said by the communion table that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sick. People in the church are wanting gifts of healings in operation. But God, that's not for the church. The church can be well. You don't have to wait for it because the gifts only operate as the Spirit wills. So, but we're told concerning prophecy is something the church, speaking by the Spirit of God. Understand the importance of word spoken. That prophecy is said to be up front. In other words, inspired utterance by God. Why? Faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Inspire people to faith. See, we need to understand this. Is the importance concerning that these gifts are that we're doing as a church. These are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We're told to desire this early, eagerly, especially that you prophesy. And we need to understand this is an anointing to say something. Do you know? I mean, let's just put it this way, probably 98% of the time that the gift of prophecy would operate through me. If I look back over the years, there's times as I was talking to people, not in church, not just talking to people, and I'm just, I know it. I'm just inspired to say something and I'll start to say it. Last night I was talking with Ken Kasich, and we were talking about some things, and man, I was just inspired. I just started talking. And this is the Holy Ghost talking to Ken about some things. And I just talking to Ken. And there's things that I didn't know about Ken or anything, but I just was inspired in the Spirit. And Ken said afterwards, he said, man, he said, I really needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. Well, see, that was inspired utterance by the Holy Ghost speaking through me. See, everybody wants to go to church and have all this stuff. You know, that's like having healing at church and it ain't anyplace else. You know, it's, hold it. You need to have these gifts, these things. We want to bless people. I found out the best. If God can operate through me, people can get blessed. If it's just me, it's going to be limited. It's going to be limited. And so you want to get to where you're over here that God can speak to you, not just to another saint, to a sinner. Because we're finding out in there, as you study down through this, this is about prophecy to people in the church. See, God can have you say something and inspire you to say something outside your normal ability and everything. You need to have to want this stuff. It's not going to happen to you just because God has gifts and one day it's going to drop on you. It won't. He told us we have to crave this. I don't think Paul would have said we had to really go after this. It'll happen anyhow if you don't. It won't. See, this is why the church has lost it over the year, these past years. It's because people aren't craving it. They're always sitting around, well, you know, God, we're waiting on the Lord. No, you're not. He's waiting on you. You're not waiting on Him. He's waiting on us. You know? And so, we need to understand that people, you know, I'm waiting for God to do something. Well, you'll be here 10 years from now waiting for God to do something and ain't nothing happening. It's just the way that it is. But in other words, inspired utterance. So we want to go to that. Now, he makes this statement here. He said in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue. Now, what's a tongue? A tongue is a naturally unacquired language. It's something that you didn't learn. It's not something you learned. Now, number one, any time in doing these things, you need to understand, again, it requires faith to do it. The reason people don't pray in tongues much is because of lack of faith. If you really thought to do something, you'd do it. It's just very simple. This isn't rocket science. This is just the way it is. If you thought you were doing something and you had faith to do it, people don't because they don't have faith to do it. Requires faith. You're speaking a language you don't know. You don't know. Now, he goes on to say this. He goes, who speaks in tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, I want you to understand what he's talking about here. He's not talking about the gift of tongues here. He's talking about tongues, your regular tongue language. Because he says this, nobody understands. See, tongues spoken out by the anointing of God is not going to be a secret because interpretation is going to reveal what's said. See, study the Bible. See, everybody jumbles all this stuff together, reads through this thing, and it's not, you can't. You have to understand, he's talking about your personal tongue life. When you speak, you're speaking not to men. In other words, the anointing of tongues and interpretation is speaking unto men. This is not speaking unto men. This is when you pray, you're speaking mysteries to God, things that you don't know and you don't understand. It requires you faith to do that. It requires faith. I'm speaking mysteries, and who's it to? I'm not talking to me. I'm talking to God. The Spirit in you will inspire, the Spirit in you takes that tongues that you were baptized in the Holy Ghost with, and He makes language out of it to God through you that God understands, you don't. Now, I want to tell you, lots of times it's good. You know, the idea of secrets. One of the things that I like, Kenneth Hagin had said this, he said, the Scripture doesn't say it, but he said, I believe that one of the things in tongues, he says, the devil doesn't understand what's being said. He said, and I thought about that. He said, I don't think he does. And I thought, well, if the devil knows what's said, for sure it ain't a secret. Because he'd blab it everywhere. He'd make sure all his cohorts and all the people who serve him in the earth know what was said. So he must not understand what it said. So your God is using you. I want you to understand this, of the importance of why you speak in tongues. It's because nothing, heaven does not move unless earth asks it to move. God's not going to move because you need. It's not going to happen. Because if need moved God, I mean, he'd be busy as crazy right here today just moving in people's needs. Well, he ain't. It's people respond to him. Why? The authority is here in the earth. When I yield my tongue to the Holy Spirit, I am by faith allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through words of a person who's in authority here and say things to God that I don't understand. But because it comes through me, God can move. I was praying in tongues one day, and one day just praying in tongues, sort of just one of those jobs, you're just sort of minding your own business. You're not really specifically for certain things, but I'm praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw these angels. And these angels would take, there's a whole bunch of angels in this area. And all of a sudden, some of these angels would take off and go. And then all of a sudden, some more angels would take off and go. And I'm thinking, what's this? What's going on here? You know, I knew they were angels, but I didn't know, I didn't understand. You know, I just knew that they were. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, when you're praying like this, he said, you're like a military commander sending angels out to do stuff. See, those angels, they're ministering for us. You always thought they were ministering to you, didn't you? No, they're ministering for us. We're the ones. Angels are moved by the voice of men in the earth. See, our response to God determines what an angel will do for you. You know, you can't treat Jesus bad and ignoring him and get angels to do stuff. You won't do that. You see, this is all part of the spirit realm. Understand your place of authority here. Your place of authority is supernatural. You remember Jesus before Pilate? And Pilate said, are you a king? Are you a king? And he said, yeah, he said, I'm a king. But he said, my kingdom's not up this world. He said, if they were, he said, my servants would rise up, you know, and fight. He said, they're not. You need to understand, we're here in this realm. We're in charge in the spirit realm. The church has wasted its time always trying to be in charge of the physical realm, of governments and everything, and politicians, and they're always... No, we're in charge of the realm of realms. And we need to understand, because you're a human in a body in this earth, you have the authority to command things that will enforce of what the spirit realm is going to do, what God's going to do, or what's going to stop with Satan. And we need to understand this. Your biggest thing isn't trying to get... See, we're always trying to use things of the spirit to control all natural stuff. I'm going to tell you what, we need to understand, if we can control the things of the spirit, a lot of natural things will change. We're too focused on the natural, on governments and on things and on problems. See, when I learned my healing was based in the spiritual, I didn't have a problem getting healed. The problem getting healed is because everybody's looking at their body all the time. Always it's about their body. No, it's if I got it in the spirit, I got it. If I have taken the authority in the spirit, I have it. My body might say, this seems crazy to me. But my body, I don't matter what my body said. I'm not operating in the physical. I'm operating in the realm of the spirit. The power to change what I want to change is in the spirit realm. It's what I command from this realm. It's what I say from this realm that's going to make the difference of what gets changed. We focus too much on the natural. We pray too much from the standpoint as our focus is on the natural instead of dealing with the things of the spirit that need to be dealt with. And so this is why praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, we can deal with things we don't know about. We can change things. It's a powerful, powerful thing. This is the operation of the spirit. This is the spirit realm. This is the purpose of tongues. You know, we have power that is just, it's so phenomenal. Yet the church is always trying to get act. Well, the average Christians, they live like they don't have much. Live like, you know, we're the ones that are in control. People say God's getting in control. I'm sorry, the church is in control. God is in heaven and so is Jesus. We're here. We have the anointings here. God's anointed us here So he can change things from there. He will change things. He wants to deal with the realm of the spirit. We have the authority. We cast out devils. God don't. We deal with them here on this plane, on this earth. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, I'm not going to do anything about the devil down there. That's your job. Now see the church, now you preach that to 90% of the church and they'll, you know, you can preach that to, I've had spirit-filled people talking to them about that and they reject it. They God will do that. You know, I'm going to get God. You know, I'm praying and ask God. You know, you can ask God anything. You can't ask stupid because he won't do it. There's one thing about God. If he puts you in charge of something, he will expect you to do it. You have the authority. Why are we asking him when the authority's in our hand? So it is. And I had to learn. You know, I learned. God dealt with me about things that I needed to take charge of that I wasn't taking charge of. And he had to deal with me about that, of taking charge. I wanted things to change, but I wasn't walking in my authority on it and dealing with it. And God didn't go into helping Ed till Ed dealt with what he was supposed to. He walked in the authority that he had. And when Ed started walking in the authority. See, this is one of the big things we did. Today in America, what we call free speech is nothing more than rebellion against authority. It's all we do with it. So all we do is rebel against authority. I mean, from the top of the bottom of our nation, mouths are doing nothing but rebelling against authority. You know, it's interesting. People, and you know why it is the church has a problem with it? Because of faithlessness in the church. We think we have to control things by the natural and that stuff. Do you know, if you think about, you know, the apostle Paul, he wrote to, about a woman. He said, about a woman, you know, she has a husband that is not saved and walking right. He says, you reach her by your chaste life and by your quietness and that kind of stuff. And he'll see your godliness. Now, people, I know this over the years. Women come to me, and over the years, I've had women ask me, their husband's a problem and that stuff. And when I realized one of the first things, you're not walking in light of the Word of God. You're trying to change him. You're around him about stuff and this and that and the other thing. And the whole thing of it is, we don't believe that the Word will work if we do it. And it is, whether like it or not. Men do it. They have their thing. Men don't walk in authority and want things to change in the home. But they don't walk in their authority. They don't take their place. My job wasn't, I don't have to beat Wanda into submission. You know, there's things that I can walk in my authority in the Spirit. It'll help her and help her in line of things to do. See, we're usually trying to do everything through the natural. I'm going to tell you this, somebody that you're real close to, lots of times there's things that you'll never be able to talk to them about, command them to do or anything. You just need to get over and believe God and let God work on them. I find, we had a pastor and he used to say, you know, his wife was his prophet. Well, I'm going to tell you what, he was always in rebellion against the prophet and she was a nagger. There was nothing prophetic, it was mostly pathetic. And it didn't make for any good relationship. Number one, you ain't your mate's prophet or you ain't your mate's whatever. You ain't God to your mate. You're just supposed to walk in love with him. And if God wants to shoot him, let him do it. It ain't your job. Judgments is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. This is good for you. But see, it's about dealing with things in the Spirit. Lots of times we don't. I was glad the Lord taught me that as a young Christian about Wanda, about bringing change. He told me, let her alone on things. And he taught me, as my life changed, then I'm doing right things that helped her change. Well, it's the same way. If a wife wants to help a husband, get spiritual. Get spiritual. You know? My husband, he's a problem and this and that and the other thing. Well, why'd you marry him? Well, I loved him and that stuff. Well, if you did, then shut up and love him and be quiet. Quit complaining about him. Does he know you run around and talk to other people about him? I asked one time, these women were complaining about they claimed to be Christians I worked with at Reese's. And I said, I tell you what, I said, I know why your husband, you have trouble with him. I said, they know you do nothing but run around and gossip about him all the time. I said, I wouldn't like you either. I said, I just listening to you, I don't like you. So that's all you say Christian. All you do is go tell other people and run him down all the time. I said, what do you expect out of this guy? I said, he has a good enough sense to know you don't like him. It's good sense. People, you like somebody, you don't do that. We'll run them down all the time, you know. Just especially, you know, to other people. But see, everybody wants patted and petted. That's what they wanted was somebody to feel good for. I found this over time. Guys don't do much of that among each other to tell them what their mates do. Guys just sort of ignore it, you know. Even if they're idiots, they still ignore. They still won't go around and tell everybody else about what goes on and what it does. But women have it, whether you like it or not, women have the tendency. I worked in a lot of women in the department were under me, and I'm going to tell you what, they gossiped all the time about their families and things, all the time. And you get, the guys didn't, very, very much the guys said anything about home life. The most of them were just glad to be away from home. And, you know, well, because they were great people, but you know what, they did have an advantage, they weren't running around doing that. They weren't, and don't do that. Don't allow it. You know, everybody wants to know the dirty details of things. Don't try to find that out. Hallelujah. What we need to do is, there are divine secrets that God wants to bring to pass in this earth. And we, through tongues, can bring God's divine secrets. We have many divine secrets that have not come to pass in the earth that God wants to do. It's because people are not praying them. So therefore, they will not be brought to pass. God wants to do things in this last day. It doesn't matter what he wants to do. It's what he will be able to do. God wants everybody saved. Well, is everybody going to get saved? No. Why? Because everybody won't respond to it. Everybody won't cooperate. God wants everybody healed. Is everybody going to heal? No, everybody ain't healed. Why? Because they don't cooperate with God on it. So there's things God wants to do in here. But see, I believe we can have a lot more. It's just like with God. God's revealing now a place as he's moving in the earth and what he's doing. We need to get ourselves hooked up with him. Pray about those things of God. Hey, God, you're moving in these areas, you know, open. We want doors open. We want things happening in these areas. We want you, Lord God, to be able to carry out these things. Lord, I don't know everything about it, but you can just use me today. I'll let you speak through my mouth to bring the things to pass there that you'd like to. And I'm just going to yield to the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to talk things I ain't got a clue about, but you know it, and it will work. Hallelujah. But there's one thing that I know. If I do it, there is a byproduct for it for me. And there is one for you, so if you don't do it, you're going to have faith problems, because praying in other tongues builds you up on your most holy faith. God builds you up if you do. See, he pays. He don't work people for nothing. He don't do that. God pays by you yielding your tongue over. He builds you up on your most holy faith. Why? The stronger you get in your faith, the more you can bring to pass. What a blessing. You know, I just always say, you know, God, this is a vicious circle. You know, God just, you know, you do this, he turns around and blesses this, and it just goes round and round. That's God, the way God works. That's the way it does. Nobody works for God without getting blessed. There's a blessing. Any time a person walks in the will of God, there's blessing for that individual. God will do things for that individual because they do. See, people say, well, God's the same to everybody. Yes, he is. You don't do nothing, he's the same to everybody. Everybody that don't do nothing, he don't do much for them. He does that for everybody. See, it's the same. But the people who do, there's a payoff in all of it. You know, I learned this out. God pays, and people say, well, I do things for God, you know. Do you do things for God for profit? I sure do. People say, you know, I don't want to do anything for profit. You know, I'm just, you know, like there's humility. No, that's called stupid. I do for God because there's great blessing in following God. Great blessing. Hallelujah. And so you want to follow God. I mean, people need to get in this routine of thinking, what I'm doing, it blesses others, but it will also, it pays for me to do it. Hallelujah. In my own life. We want to walk in the light of that. Now, Paul said in verse 3 of chapter 14, he said, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So in other words, if the gift of prophecy here, he says, this is to edify people. In other words, God operating through you to edify means to build up. You're encouraging or building up other people speaking by what God anoints you to say. So it's again, he said there, so edification, why? When he probably speaks to edification, now understand this, there are levels of prophecy. And I learned this over the years, even in myself from a minister. Generally, I'll operate in prophecy to edification, exhortation, or comfort. You won't find this. Somebody who's not in a prophet's ministry, God don't prophesy through you to give correction to people. It's going to be general prophecy is edification, exhortation. Now, in a ministry gift, when a prophet, this isn't about general prophecy in its gift and operation. It depends on whose it's operating through and their gifting. You see, I learned out years ago as a young Christian that God would manifest through me in prophecy, and I could just tell the level. There's a level, and you can tell it when that anointing comes. And you step into a place and you're talking, it's totally different on a whole different level that you're speaking from. I've had it over time. First time I had it happen, I was in a prayer meeting and this pastor was there and different ones were there and that stuff. And they were pretty much getting over into unbelief and praying and doing stuff is what they were doing. And they're there that, you know, and I was a young Christian, so I'm just sort of minding my own business. But I knew this thing, they're praying and saying things that shouldn't be said, shouldn't be done. You know, people get over and they didn't realize, most of these people had been spirit-filled for a long time, but they didn't realize that they were very untaught people about things of the Spirit. And I knew they were. And I'm just minding my own business praying. And all of a sudden, this anointing dropped on me. And I started prophesying, and I wondered who was doing it. Because I'm just going to tell you, when that anointing comes, it's like I'm listening. I'm just telling you, it's like I'm listening to what's being said. That's the only way I can put it. It's just as if I'm listening to it being said. Because it's coming out of my mouth, and I've done this already. I thought, what on earth? My mind, isn't it from your mind? And you can tell it. My mind, when that happens, my mind can think other thoughts than what's coming out of me. Why? It's coming out of my spirit. It ain't coming out of my mind. Your mind's disconnected. There's a huge difference in those that kind of prophesying. Huge difference. Brother Hagin said, it's like somebody standing behind me talking. But you know, a lot of times, he didn't always prophesy under the prophetic anointing. He'd prophesy sometimes just under regular prophecy, edification, exhortation, comfort. But then, and you can tell that, especially when it does come out of that standpoint, when it's coming out of the anointing, like there with the prophet, like Brother Hagin, pay close attention to what's said. Pay attention to what God's saying on that. God's emphasizing something to bring something across. And I've had that. I had one time years ago, anointing came on me, and again, it was a prayer meeting. We had probably about maybe 100 people. It was a full gospel businessman's prayer. And anointing came on me, and I prophesied for 20 minutes. It was like Ed was sitting in the audience. This stuff just poured out of me. It was anointing came on me. It was so strong. It was like electric flowing through me. It's like I had my finger in a socket. It was actually painful. I'm thinking this whole time, this thing's going on. I can't wait till this is over. It hurt. This anointing was so strong, it hurt. When I got done prophesying, it didn't lift. I walked out the side door of the place. I said, God, get this off of me. I said, I can't stand it. It was that strong. Well, you know, God gets doing things like that. But understand, these are anointings. And when we read these things, we need to read them and understand what it's talking about. We put these more in natural things. When he's talking about people prophesying, this is people who are supposed to be yielding to the Spirit, and the Spirit is anointing them to say something. Not they feel something needs to be said. That's not what this is. Now you might think sometimes things need to be said. Maybe they do, but are you the one? It's good to wait for the anointing, because you might not be the one that needs to say it if the anointing's there. Now we found that in verse 4 it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. In other words, we're talking about tongues that you received when you got filled with the Holy Ghost. That is for your personal self-edification. That's for you. And when you do that, you're operating over in that area that you're speaking mysteries to God. And what is that? It's self-edification. And so, as here he says, but he who prophesies edifies the church. In other words, prophecy in this standpoint, because that other one couldn't be the gift of the Spirit because it means it'd be interpretation. But here he says prophecy. Now the gift of prophecy, the church gets edified. In other words, this edifies other people. God's using you to minister to others. God's using you to minister to other people. Why? What's the purpose of it? To edify. That's what he's doing. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Generally in the body of Christ, that's mostly, lots of times when prophecy comes, that's what it's going to be. So we need to understand that. So it's to edify people. And now in verse 5 he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now what's he talking about, I wish you all spoke with tongues? Because these are all Spirit-filled people. So what? He's talking about the gift. So not everybody talks in the gift of tongues. Not everybody. I wish you all spoke. It doesn't mean God can't give you one and not give you a tongue that needs to be interpreted. He could. He could operate in that way. He can. But it is what he's talking about. This is not something you just do. You just speak out because you can speak in tongues. You know, I've been in churches already and that stuff, in times past, and people, would talk out in tongues, but it wasn't tongues to be interpreted. It was tongues for themselves to edify themselves. But they get excited and yield to it and speak out. But it's really not for the crowd. You need to know and learn and develop in the areas when God is working through you to do something to minister. You need to learn to when some things need to be said or not. He's like with me, if I know something does, the unction just keeps coming up in me. It's going, because I'll sit there and think, well, am I supposed to do this? It'll just keep rising and rising and say, if I don't do something about this, this thing's going to keep annoying me. And, sometimes the anointing does not come really strong till I start to talk, till I start to say it. See, most people, I got to get the goosebumps. I got to have all the stuff ahead of time, and then I'll know to don't work like that. This is why people don't get used, is because they don't respond by faith. They're waiting always for more. I found this out. When you use the little you got, more comes. It does. That's the way it works. I can't tell you any different. Say, well, how do you know? You just got to know in your spirit. If you don't know your own spirit, man, you don't know what you are in the spirit, it's going to be always very difficult to operate in gifts of the spirit and things. It's going to be, I learned to know my inner man. I just learned to know who I am. And I can turn to this guy and, just like here in church, sometimes I'll get an unction. Not that God's going to say something in tongues. I'll get an unction along the line of something. I get a sense of something along the line God wants to say. And I sort of get along with it. And then Michael turn around and speak in tongues. And see, I already have, there's a certain part like I got. But it's like, it ain't something you can go with. It's just like a part of it. And I know it's not, I'm not supposed to kick this. I just know, because there's no unction to this. I just got a sense of something. Then Michael talk in tongues, and then all of a sudden, then I'll start to speak and find out that I could sense in me now is getting spoke out. Now it becomes clear to me. See, it wasn't clear to me before. And so, it may work that way. Sometimes I don't get that at all. Just a thing comes and but sometimes it does. And that's why as manifestations of the gift, we just walk by faith for this stuff. Things are different at different times as God ministers, just like with healing. Many times why people don't get healed and even manifestations of gifts of healing don't operate because people will only minister one way. They will never listen to the Spirit. We have this thing today as, you lay hands and pray for people. And, most people, they think prayer is the thing that heals people. No, faith heals people. Amen. Prayer don't. If prayer healed, everybody would get healed when you pray. Oh, prayer is powerful. Yeah, prayer can do powerful things. But prayer can do nothing. You know? So we have the things. I learned this. Just like myself. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about ministering, if I minister healing to people. Generally, when I minister, he told me to minister in this way. It's like Kenneth Hagin had a general way when God anointed him and told him the general way. But sometimes it would change. God would want to do something different. If he went and did it his way, it didn't work well. Well, like mine, the Lord told me, he said, to talk to me. He said, you tell people that I'm present. God's present. You got God's present everywhere. The healing power of God is present everywhere. He said, you tell people that. And he said, you tell people if they'll believe that and receive that as true. He said, tell them when you lay hands on them, the power of God will go into them and heal them. But see, they have certain things they got to believe. Now, he told me generally he wanted me to minister that way. But now I need to understand this. I need to listen to the Spirit because he may want to do something different. He may sometimes want to operate through a gift of the Spirit. He might do something different. And see, most people, they're on one track and that's it. They never listen to the Spirit. Does God want to do something different? Is there something different about this? So you do it. Sometimes, you know, it's like ministering. You know, one time I was ministering to people and this one lady was there. I laid hands on her, prayed for her. She had a bad back. So I laid hands on her and prayed for her. And I just knew on the inside I was supposed to tell her to bend over. You know, I know some people, they do that. Everybody has a back problem, they tell them to. Well, maybe God will want to do something different. Sometimes God don't say a thing to me about saying anything to a person about that. But with her, so I said to her, bend over. She said, I don't want to bend over. I said, bend over. She said, I don't want to bend over. I said, go sit down. I ain't doing you no good to be here. And there's one thing about it. You go to somebody you're going to be ministered to, if you ain't going to obey, just stay in your chair. If you're going to go up there and you have your idea, you're probably going to stay as sick as you were or your problem you were before. So this isn't about getting whatever, you know, how you think. I found out loads of times I thought God would do certain things certain ways and he didn't at all. But he will do. He's out to accomplish it. But you got to get in your thinking, led by the Spirit. You know, you might have a general way that you do things, but you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows things about things with people. Because I realized something, you know, concerning that woman. You know, she had herself said she ain't going to do this or ain't going to do that. And things ain't going to work. See, people, I learned from Kenneth Hagin, you know, about it was really helpful. He talked about where Jesus made spit out of the dirt and put on a guy's eyes and then send him to the pool of Siloam to wash himself. And he said this, when he explained this, he said, the healing started when Jesus made the clay. He said, the healing started. That's when it started. It didn't start when the guy washed. See, people, my faith starts, whatever's done by faith that God has me do, that's when it starts. It doesn't start when it ended. This is why most people don't get healed. They're always focused on end result, and they don't realize it starts. When he made clay and he put that on that guy's eyes, that was a continuation of that healing anointing. That was a continuation of that man's healing. When he told the guy, go to the pool of Siloam, that guy, that was this guy, that was the continuation of that healing, is doing that, carrying that out. When he washed him, then it manifested. But it was in work the whole time. It didn't happen at the pool. If he wouldn't have went to the pool, nothing would have ever happened. He had to complete it. He had to complete it. Kenneth Hagin's mother-in-law had a big goiter, a huge, huge goiter. And part of the goiter was growing on the inside and it was choking her. It's known that they will do that sometimes. But anyhow, he said to, she was going to go to be operated on and she was going the next day. His in-laws and his wife and him were in their house just praying. And anyhow, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, told him to lay his hands on his mother-in-law to heal her. He laid his hand on her and he said that goiter just went. He said, all but about a quarter size. And then the Lord told him to tell her. He said, now, sister, he said, that your healing is about complete. But he said, you're going to have to go down to the altar in the Pentecostal church the next time you're there for that thing to complete? Well, he said, I wondered at the time, why that? Why wasn't it just completed there? He said he found out why. Because she had said this numbers of times, you'll never find me at the altar down at that Pentecostal church. You better watch what you say. Amen. Shall I tell you what you say is so important? This is like the Lord said to me. Now back when I was like in my 40s and maybe up to my 50 and I was doing running, and I said, when I'm 80 years old, I'll be able to run 3 miles. The Lord told me, you need to keep your word. You put your word out, you need to keep that. What did you say you'd do and you ain't doing? You said you would. See, somebody said, well, that's just a natural thing. Not with God, that's your word. Amen. You see, that woman's word, she's going to have to change that. Or she ain't going to get her. That goiter would have came right back on her. You see, we need to understand, this is why I be led by this spirit-filled life, man. This is something else. Operating over in these things, understanding. People are not taught well at all. People are not taught well at all. That's why today we don't have really a lot of good teaching on the areas of healing. And this is why I mean so many Christians have a hard time with it. They have a terrible time with it because they're not taught well. You know, we have our ideas and we don't want anybody speaking. If God anoints somebody, he's giving them authority to say something. Better pay attention. Better pay attention. Now, number one, we can judge it, and in which we do. There's one thing, it's like, we're in a world today, and there is much more voice than is necessary. I mean, we have too much. There's no way the human mind was ever designed by God to take all the information we got today going out all over the place on all the stuff from online to your Facebook and all these kind of things and all these. You were never designed by God to be taking all that in all the time. You were never designed. Your brain is not. This is why people's minds are shot. Too much information. And we were talking about this thing last night. And I said about this fact. I said, the only thing that I know, I said, when I go online, I said, I don't know. I said, you can have good people tell you things, but I said, you don't know that they're true. You have to have something to measure things against. And we don't measure nothing today. Now, this is one of the things that I know. I cannot trust even the conservative news people. They say from their opinion. I need to have something to measure something against. And I said, Ken, I said, the only thing I said, I know this. If people are think, I know that they're the word of God's true. And so if somebody's speaking, the only thing I have to measure things against is the word of God. That is an infallible truth. And I said, if people say things and I mean, I can't measure it against the Bible. I said, I can't take it as truth if I don't know or I don't know the things going on. We're saying too many things that some politician or some guy said, and even Trump said, and he's wrong. And we're taking them and saying them. But we haven't identified it as truth, and it's coming out of our mouths. And it's affecting the realm of the spirit. When you believe it's true, you start acting like it's true. And you start enforcing that thing by what you're saying. It might not be true. Finding out what's true. I don't know. I don't know what's true or what is. I don't know. It's just like, one FBI agent made, he said, you watch video things online. He said, AI's got so good. He said, unless you can take that original video and look at it to see if it was, right? He said, you can't tell if it was true or not. It isn't anymore. You can't believe what you hear. You can't believe what you see. And I'll tell you this. If people get good at it, it won't be just the bad guys. So we call bad guys. There's going to be plenty of bad conservatives that will be doing it. People are more interested in getting their views across than getting truth across. You know, Jesus told the disciples, he anointed them. He said, go heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, do all this stuff. Go do it. He said, you go down there to this village. And you know what? They don't accept you. Shake the dust off your feet. He didn't say go make a report of the whole thing and go carry it. No, just leave. No, we stay and wear ourselves out trying to fix the unfixable. You know, I'm like this. If people don't want to hear what I'm saying, I ain't going after them again. They'll have to decide they want it. My job ain't to go back and wear them out because they didn't accept it yet. Did you ever notice Jesus never chased people around? Somebody got up and left, he went on to somebody else. We say, I want to be like Jesus. When's that going to start? See, when I found out it wasn't Ed's job to save the world. Mine was to be led by the Spirit to fulfill my part. I'm not called to fulfill your part. Now, I know a lot of people like to have somebody else fulfill their part. You know, get somebody else to do this. No, you have your part. You fulfill your part or what's in your scope of what God's given you and that stuff. And, you know, there's people who reject. And, you know, I see people and I know this. They're in a bad place if they don't accept. Things are going to go and they ain't going to get better. But you can't. You don't have the ability to change that. You just keep howling. You don't. Over the years, I've had to deal with people. I know they're going to die and it ain't going to die good. And I know it. But I know I can't do a thing about it. They ain't going to let me do a thing about it. I don't matter what I know is going on. It does not matter. And I'm going to tell you this. I found out nagging them about it don't change a thing. Don't change a thing. See, we live in a world. You need to understand this about yourself. You have a will. You have a sovereign will. God has never given you the authority over somebody else's will. Their will is sovereign. And you're in this earth. Your will is sovereign. Jesus Christ himself don't override anybody's will. But yet the Christians keep doing everything he can trying to override people's will. Can't do it. I know this don't have to do with tongues, but I'm going to tell you, it's good to learn these things in the Spirit about this thing. See, about understanding, what's my scope of authority? What is it? I found these things out by asking questions to God. Because I'd pray, when I was younger, I'd pray for somebody, and just anything, nothing would change. And I asked the Lord one time about a certain individual. I said, Lord, I said, I've been praying for them and don't see nothing, you know, nothing's changing. And the Lord said to me, well, what do you don't think I responded to your prayer? He said, you asked me to move on. You asked me. He said, I have. He said, they won't respond. So there ain't nothing I can do about it. He said, they know what to do and won't do it. See, here's the Christians. The Christians think then if they just pray a lot more about it, then we're going to change it. God ain't going to force that person. Because you wasted your time thinking you were praying when you weren't doing nothing. You know, you can fast and pray, and you know what you get? You can lose weight. Fasting does not change God. Never. God is unchangeable. Fasting is about changing you. If you were doing true fasting, you'd find out what you were supposed to do. But this is what people do. They go on a fast, not listening. They have a direction that they're pushing. I know about it. God chewed me out for that. You get a direction, you push. And this is what the Lord told me one down. I'm pushing a direction. He said, you're opening the door for the devil to do stuff. You're pushing in the areas of the Spirit in unbelief because you ain't hooked up with me. Christians get the devil working. By they getting over pushing, they get in the flesh and get over pushing on things and pushing on things. This is why you always want to listen to God. You know, you might have a direction and it may sound good for the word, but make sure, find out where God's standing on. God sees everybody and everything. He knows the motive of every person's heart. He knows right here today who will respond to what. He knows. Wouldn't it be good if we got his opinion on some of this stuff? I know. You know, I thank God he chewed me out on things because I did things. But I'm glad I heard him chew me out. Because I don't want to waste my time. I have done it. And so we need to get over. This is why I love about praying in tongues. Ed's out of it. I'm over here in this thing. Glory to God has edified me and God's doing something. He's over there speaking secrets and it's probably good that I don't know. Because I would probably pray something dumb about it. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he's so smart. If you were so smart, he'd probably let you know what's going on. But I gave up on that Ed so smart. Sometimes I pray in tongues and all of a sudden I get the gist of what I'm praying about. But that isn't all the time. Most of the time I don't. Most of the time I don't. But there's times that that happens. There's times that you pick things up. So, Paul said there in verse 5, he said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, he who prophesies is what greater than he who speaks in tongue, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So we want to say that this is just about the gifts of the Spirit in operation. This is tongues that are being interpreted to bring God wants to say something to the church. So tongues and interpretation is equal to prophecy. It's equal to it. Tongues in itself is not, from a gift standpoint. And so we need to understand that. So tongues is it is a ministry gift to edify the church. It can also operate in the supernatural level where people speak things. It's just like in the day of Pentecost, they all heard them speak in their own languages. They're talking in tongues, but there's a supernatural thing going on that's happening here. And that's one thing is the Apostle Paul, as he wrote, we won't get down there today, but he writes, and as you read, he said, tongues is for the unbeliever. Why? Because there is some real supernatural can go with tongues. And the church always thinks that, you know, other things are always, they're always greater. They're always better. I found this out through tongues and interpretation, like just like with prophecy. Prophecy, you can get a word of wisdom or word of knowledge through prophecy, or tongues and interpretation too. So you could get another gift rides on that gift. So actually you end up with two gifts in operation. And so this is why tongues, the church needs to understand this. We don't operate and flow over, you know, in these areas well. We should not expect a lot of the other gifts to operate. See, when you think the least of them are not worth anything. You know, isn't it funny that he said, well, but especially if you prophesy, especially if you have gifts of healing, you want to have that right. Because I want to tell you, I found this out. A lot of them, those gifts, run off those other gifts, the use of those other gifts. A lot of it comes through. You get a lot of manifestations because of those things. What I want you to do, though, with this is one of the things is we're talking about this operating in the Spirit, especially in prophecy. Is I've had over the years so many times of just speaking to people. You know, I have been in conversation, just a general conversation. It wasn't about ministry or nothing with somebody. And all of a sudden, inside of me, I knew I needed to say a certain thing. I knew it needed to be said. I just rose up in me and I was speaking. See, people don't know. Sometimes, and it happens lots of times, I'll be teaching. And I'll start to say things under the spirit of prophecy. I can tell the anointing shifts. I can tell what I'm saying is under the spirit of prophecy. I started to recognize that through Brother Hagin. I learned that through him. As his teaching and ministry, that all of a sudden the gift of prophecies, it seems like he is teaching, but the anointing shifted. He's speaking by the spirit of God in prophecy. Then look, preaching and teaching in itself has a portion of the prophetic and prophecy anointing in it, in itself. But there's sometimes that gift just kicks in. And you need to understand this as you with people. I believe this. I believe people get unctions. I've known it where I've missed it. I've known it after a time and I'd say, you know, I should have said that was God moving in me and I didn't yield to it. I didn't yield to that. So I didn't, so the anointing didn't go into effect. It would be to bring it across. You know, starting off and doing this, God will be very, very liberal with you. Very, very liberal. He is not as liberal with me today as he was in starting. Because I'll tell you, there's lots of times I would miss things of taking off. You know, it's one of the things, it's like God, I'm just going to tell you, because of my ministry gift, God dealt with me different, and he don't probably ever deal with any of you guys like this. And the reason it is because the anointing I stand under. I mean, when I was just a young Christian, I was only maybe a Christian a year or so. And I mean, I was, when the worship center, they got started. They just built their building. It was their first building. It was just one of those like square, like warehouse buildings, you know, it's that they had up there and they had down there. And I'll never forget going down there. I had just started going down there a couple of times. I'm inside in the building. There's about 500 people sitting in there. And the associate pastor got up and spoke in tongues. And here I am. I had never done this. I knew I had the interpretation. I knew it. I mean, when I knew the anointing came in to interpret that. And Sam smiled, and I didn't get up with it. I'm hugging the seat, man. But see, I'm a young Christian. I'm hugging the seat. But see, I've learned over time why God dealt with me in certain things because of what things he wanted me to do and things he wanted me to speak. Other people aren't going to have to do it. They probably ain't going to. And I sat there, and Sam Smucker got up. Sam Smucker spotted. He would not let the service go any further. He said, now, probably as I would assume, maybe I didn't, I know. One thing is I saw, Sam didn't do much of interpretation. To me, it's sort of strange. I would think, especially in pastors, that would be pretty, interpretation would be a gift that would operate. But Sam wouldn't let the meeting go any further. He just stopped. Everything got silent. He said, I ain't going to move on. He said, somebody has an interpretation. Well, he did that, and it just came on me stronger, and conviction came on me stronger. Because, see, when you know you got it, and you're there, and I know I got it. Now, let me say this. I knew I had the interpretation. I didn't know what it was. I just knew I had it. I had to get up and speak. I'm a young Christian. I ain't even been born again in about a year. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, see, my mind is, what if I get up and say something stupid? You know, see, I'm guessing what my mind's going over there. My mind's going. But, you know, when I finally yielded to it, I stood up and I spoke it, and it came out of me, and I thought, oh, that was such a relief anyhow, to get it out. And I thought, you know, it came out of my spirit. It didn't come out of my mind. My mind was flaky on this thing. But it did. It was the Holy Ghost. And say, now, I wouldn't want you all to learn that way. But let me put it this way. I learned how to operate through gifts of the Spirit and things from around Christians and being in church. See, we don't have that today. We don't have, that's where I learned. You know, I often thought, you know, it's like lots of churches today, especially, you know, in smaller groups of people, people can yield a lot easier. Because, number one, it's like with me. If a person misses it, ain't no big deal. You know, because I've missed it. I mean, I've done it already and that stuff. Big churches, they always try to keep everything corralled. And we only want to have it through certain, just can be certain individuals and certain things happen. But what happened is people never learn because they have to be in an atmosphere where they can learn. If you're going to learn to prophesy, you need to learn it usually around other Christians and you're doing it. Because, you know, you should be able to do that. You know, it's like in a family. Everybody has done stupid things in their family, you know, and you just, you know, but we're still family and you still meet together and stuff. But people learn and grow and operate in these things. And they should have that. And if you're in a church and you ain't allowed to do those kind of things, and that's what's happened. Most of the Spirit-filled churches today are like corrals. And they keep you over in a pen somewhere. And then certain people operate in things, but you're kept over here, and people never really get to develop their gift. And it has to be developed. I developed my gift over time. You know, I always thank God for, like, pastors who allowed me to teach on even a low level, just to do something to teach. And that's helped me develop my gift. You don't just walk out there and then you're just going to be good at it one day. That ain't happening. Don't work like that. It's developed. And see, the body of Christ needs to develop. We need to develop those things with people. If somebody has something, you know, we need to allow people to do it. And we need to give them grace if they miss it, you know. Hallelujah. We're not going to shoot them. And we don't want them so they stop trying to yield to things. Because sometimes through my mistakes, I learned some things about operating in the Spirit. I learned some things from mistakes that I made in it. And you know what? You're going to too. If you're afraid to make mistakes, you ain't going to do nothing for God. You won't do anything for Him. Because you're going to make mistakes. And you think it makes God nervous? Nah. You know, I sat there in that thing. He wasn't upset at all that I sat there for, you know what, I'll tell you what, seemed to me like it was a half an hour. It probably was maybe 5 minutes. But you ever sit, you know, you got 500 people and everything's sitting silent. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, God just shining the spotlight on me. Oh, my Lord. Why'd you pick on somebody else? Oh, my. But see, those are the pieces. We need to understand these are manifestations that the Spirit does. And we need to, with me, I don't try to run around and interpret everything. You need the anointing to interpret. You need to know that the anointing is there, that God uses you like that. Because the apostle went on here, Paul, he wrote about this. He talked about it. You have a tongue. Don't do it unless there's an interpreter. Unless there's an interpreter, don't do it. Now, I've said before in this place, people can speak out in tongues because God uses me in that area. And as I know this is from a pastor standpoint, it is to help people who want to develop a gift. They might, God uses them in that. Wouldn't it? That's why I don't understand why God wouldn't use a pastor to do that, because to help the person who, if they do have something, that, hey, you can go ahead because this is a good atmosphere to do it in. This is the place we can learn here. We can learn in this place. You know, if you got something, you find out that, you learn a lot about it. And, you know, it's like Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would allow people sometimes around to prophesy. People would speak in tongues. And I heard Brother Hagin say this. That tongue really wasn't for the congregation. That was for that person. They got, you know, sort of excited and got over and said it. And he turned around and he interpreted for them to know what was said. I thought, my God, I'd like to hook up over like that. You, it was just for that. But he didn't club him and then drag him out of the meeting. You rested, you jerk. Because, you do that. When I'm up here on a Sunday morning, lots of times we're worshiping. And I talk to you. I praise God in tongues. I'll do it all the time. I praise God in tongues. I'll even sometimes get over singing. I quiet into myself in tongues. I just get inspired in my own spirit to do it. And I do that while I'm up here. And that's all about me and God. That isn't for the congregation. That's me out of my gift that I have. That's not out of tongues and interpretation. That's not out of that. That's me using it. I mean, I can get over doing that and I can get a strong anointing on me just doing that. But I need to differentiate if it's something to give out, or this is just God working, edifying me, building me up. So you want to learn those. But I want you to get to this thing, because we'll probably eventually go on to this some more, because of going down into here, it talks about this, and it talks about the difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. See, everybody throws this stuff all together and they jumble it up. He's talking about the whole scope of tongues. And their use. And how they're done in the church. How we do it. So if we're going to do it in the church, tongues is an interesting. Jesus didn't say the gift of tongues is for the unbeliever and the unbeliever only. Because we know this, the tongues and interpretation will edify just as prophecy will, can edification, exhortation, and comfort. In other words, we need to understand about gifts and their operation. See, people don't realize that. There's gifts and operations. Here, we should, in the church as a whole, expect tongues and interpretation and prophecy to work in the church, but it also can be a blessing to the sinner. We see it in the book of Acts in the beginning. The unsaved were moved by it. So therefore, I've heard ministers say this, and spirit-filled ministers and have big churches. Well, we don't want tongues. We have people coming here and saved. We don't want to disturb anybody and make anybody. Well, they're totally unscriptural. And you know what? I'll guarantee you this. You go to those churches all the time. You won't ever see much of any kind of things. You don't see people, you know, turn around. And you don't have things go on in their churches like, you know, we had with Alan Killian, you know. People learn how to believe God and stand up and walk, you know, when they're supposed to be dead. You don't have that kind of stuff. Why? You shut the Holy Spirit off. You don't tell him what gifts he's allowed to have around somebody. See, lots of times, like Christianity, like people think, well, you know, you're talking tongues, that stuff, you're going to disturb. When I came in the kingdom, they were talking on tongues on TV, ministers. And other same ministers, they'd never speak in tongues a day. Why? Because they can make good money from people. Yeah, they make good money from people, but they've lost their anointing with God. If tongues and prophecy and things like that, tongues interpretation, will edify the church, wouldn't you think that that would go on some? Do you think it just only stops when TV cameras are running? I guess. I don't. But see, there's things. Now we're saying these things, and it isn't just being critical. This is learning and teaching is what it is. I am sure of this. I am positive of this fact. I have hampered the Holy Ghost at times. And so have you. And you know, I want to do that less, don't you? I like to do it less. But I've learned over time, he is very, very patient. I'll tell you what, I'm probably not as patient with me as he is. And lots of people ain't patient with other people, but I'll tell you what, I'm usually harder on me than I am for other people and things. But I found out the Lord... He many times is he's much more patient about me, and I think, man, I should have done better with that. I knew better. And that don't mean you want to get to the place where you think it's okay to walk past stuff, because sometimes you can get yourself in major trouble. Brother Hagin almost died because of disobedience on a thing. And so you can open the door for the devil to do things. It's really, really can get you a lot of trouble. And that stuff. God wasn't after him, but you can open the door. See, there's an expectation. The more you gain in authority, and I want you to get understand this, the more you gain and walk in understanding it, and you're anointed, and if you can become more anointed in your walking in your authority. And the more you do, the more you're a target for the devil. And the more it's to him much is given, much is required. God will expect more out of you. That doesn't mean you go ahead and sit around and not do things, because there's places you won't walk in and you won't experience with God if you don't. But people need to understand this. It's one of the things, you know, you need to learn to walk by faith in hard stuff, because you ain't going to grow. So the Lord taught me, and thus in the military. Do you know what they did in the military to train you? They sent you through hard stuff. They treated you bad. They took you out crawling through mud and doing all kinds of things, chewing you out. Crawling you through places, things you're going through. Why? To make you a good soldier. You don't grow and your muscles don't get bigger not using them. Faith don't get bigger not using them in the big things. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. He said this. He said, great faith comes through great trials. He said, if you don't have any great trials, you don't have great faith. You know, Mike stood up this morning, talked about people who had great trials. What do I have a right to complain? These people went through this. Great trials. And they stuck with what they're doing. Today, you can't get Christians. Oh, man, you know. All fair-weather Christians, you know. I've watched Christians do this. For money to go to work, they'll drive in the snow. Go to church, we don't drive in the snow. And I'll tell you what, they will areas never develop in faith. There are areas they will not walk strong in. I'm not saying to criticize. I know how it works. Amen. I know how it works. Now, that doesn't cause you have a great trial that you're going to have faith. You have to be in that faith in that trial. Many people go through hard situations, but they ain't in faith. And when it's over, they didn't win. Sometimes in worse shape than what they were when it started. This is about you being, I'm going to tell you what, you got to learn to endure hard things with joy. You need to learn to smile when the bad stuff goes on. You need to learn to not lose your joy. I've learned that over time. I have had wonderful opportunities to lose my joy. And years ago, I used to do it often. I'll tell you what, I'd lose it thinking I was never going to find it again. I thought it was lost forever. But I learned over time how to go through hard. And God taught me as being a good soldier. You go through the training, shut up. Quit complaining about the drill sergeant and what he's doing. Quit complaining about these things. You know, when I got to Vietnam, I said, you know, those guys didn't hate me. They liked me. They're one that they did showed me things that I could stay alive. But you know what? That's why. And you go to boot camp. Mamas aren't allowed at boot camp. Because mamas, don't treat my little boy like that. I said, that my mama did. Oh, that's my little lady. Don't you do that to him. No, they wrote her a letter and say, shut up and stay at home. Because we're going to make something out of this boy. See, in the church world, it's hard. When ministers try to make something out of the boys, there's too many complainers. Oh, you shouldn't have talked that hard. No, keep saying stuff sweet to everybody, and all we have is a bunch of cakes sitting in the pews. They can't face nothing, can't go through nothing. They can't stand. They don't know about faith. You know, I'll turn around and stand in faith, and it don't seem like none of it's working. I'm walking around saying I believe my heel, and my body feels worse every day. And you know what? I don't complain. You can ask my wife. I don't complain. I'll talk like things are going good. I believe they are. I believe I'm winning. See, but you don't. I don't feel like a winner. I'm going to tell you, I'm a winner before the fight starts. I don't ever have to feel like the winner. I'm the winner. I can tell you the end of the fight. We don't see. You don't think when you don't have it in you that you want it going in, you're going to be as surprised as everybody else at the end. And if you won, it would be a fluke. This is good preaching, folks. But you learn, and you know what? You go through harder things and harder things because if things are coming along, you're getting hard. I'll tell you what. I know this a fact. Ed ain't gone done going through hard things. Why? Because I want to go further. And I know this. To go further is going to require more out of Ed. I know this. Ed's going to have to lay down some things he likes. Not they're bad things or anything like that. But to attain a goal to something higher, I'm going to have to lay some things aside and go for the goal that I want to have. Do you know, God won't force you to go higher. But I'm going to tell you, your life may. Don't wait till your life forces you to do something because it'll take a longer time to get where you want to go. The longer you have let your flesh go and do what it wants, the longer it takes to recoup. This is not criticism, just how it works. See, I see the fact the Lord was talking to me about this week, and I'm just, yeah, Lord, I'm going to talk about it right now. In the areas, see, people, like say financially, I've watched people go along, and they'll come to a place they need some money. But they really haven't been into it, and that, you know, and sowing and stuff. But when time comes, they want something, and all of a sudden, we're going to start sowing. We're going to, because we need this thing. And I can tell you, you better develop patience. You know, let me tell you this. Patience is not developed by studying the Bible and reading the Word. Patience is developed in problems. That's where it's developed. You will never be a patient person if you don't want to face troubles. That's where the trying of your faith worketh. In other words, it energizes your patience to do something. You're going to have to do something with that patience. Here's what people do. They turn around and then they start. What they want, I'm going to give this week, but I need something next week. I'm just going to tell you generally it ain't going to come. Not if you've not been faithful and following what to do and what God's been leading you to do financially. You're not going to see it. Do you know, the farmer out here, you know, if he's planting out here, he's planting, he needs money, he's planting, you know, there's a period of time that he knows that he's going to have his need. But you know, he can't keep living a life like that. Or what will happen? His whole farming career will be, I got to have this crop or I can't make it next year. I have this crop. It's just what a lot of people are. You know, I see farmers are like that. And you see this, there's other farmers out there, they have money. They want their crop to come in. But they ain't going out of business if something goes wrong. They're in this thing. They've been in the sowing business and they've been in this thing and they know how it works. And you know, that farmer thrives. He thrives whether how other things go or not. He thrives. And see, many people aren't like that. And they're not going to thrive because they're just do it at times or when I have need, when I have need, when I have need. You know, the scripture says, you know, cast your bread upon the water, you know, and instead of returning every wave, well, that means you're going to be thrown out there. It ain't going to come in every wave if you ain't put it out there. See, the farmers don't say, you know, I'm tired. This year I ain't going to. We had to take so much. You know how much we have to invest into doing this? And we got to, you know, it requires a lot. I'm going to tell you, that's the faith light. It requires. And you can't pick and choose. Well, I believe God, this is easy or that. I'm going to do that. No, it's you're going to have things where things ain't going to come back like you. Like you'd like to have them come back. They aren't going to work that way. And, you know, with faith and patience, you inherit the promise. He didn't say by faith you'll inherit the promise. The failure of patience. There's things that I have waited years to come to pass. And I have patiently stood. And anybody, did you ever ask me about it? It's mine. I got that thing. It's mine. I have it. You know what? Faith's eternal. You can tell when you really ain't got it, when you ain't walking by patience because you ain't got the eternal hookup. Faith's eternal principle. It's spiritual. My words were out there. I said what I would do when I was 80, and the Lord said, your words are out there. You get to doing your words. You ain't been doing them for a number of years. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do that. I'll do that. Why? Because I put my word out there. See, think about this. These gifts we're talking about here today are word gifts. You understand the power of words? Just think, they're the first ones he gave. And is in the church, words. Get thinking about that. Hallelujah. The power. Be careful what you say. What you say you're going to do, you know, and not going to do. Well, if I see that person, I'm going to do this. Did you want to say that? And you say things and, well, I didn't really mean it. I'm sorry, your words went out. We can't be like that. We can't be those kinds of people because there's a day come you need your words to come to pass. And you can't be throwing frivolous, worthless bread out there. If it is, if you know you don't keep your word, don't be surprised your faith don't work. This is a powerful thing, see. We're in the Spirit. That's why hooking up in the Spirit, we can learn to control our words. Yep. I need help. don't you? Hallelujah. Just stand to our feet. God gave us wisdom this morning. Hallelujah. And we looked at scripture that was just, you know, we have seen and things that we've known. But I want to tell you, meditate on these things. I found the more that I meditate on them, the more they become alive and real in me. You know, just because you hear it said today, don't mean you're ready to go into anything. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the farmer, he plants a seed, but he fertilizes and does that. And then he goes out and they put stuff on to keep the weeds down and they do all that stuff. Well, there's a whole thing to do is to get that to grow in you. And you need to know yourself. This is why it's taking time to meditate. Meditation is the idea of, it's not just reading over something or just looking. It's a matter of starting to say it. Meditate means to mutter, to say. You start speaking those things. Their words, words are powerful. After a while, you'll be saying those words from your spirit. And you watch, you'll start to operate in those words. That's how I got to learn to do it. I would say those things. I would say the things that the Word said. See, I talk about you, and I'm going to speak in tongues. Those gifts going to—they'll operate. You know, interpretation. God can manifest them through me. Hallelujah. You know, and when you start to look at those things, you know, covet to prophesy. Well, I realize God wanted me to prophesy. He wanted me to operate in that area, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's a great need in the body for that. I know people who have ministries like that, of simple prophecy operates through them. And they bring great exhortation to the body of Christ. They're very good at it. They operate in a ministry of exhortation. Sometimes I do that. I have done that. I would go, like, so I was down in Mexico, and I don't know how many remember Rod and McLean. Rod McLean is evangelist. We were in one meeting one time, and I realized Rod was going to be the preacher. He's going to preach this meeting. And Rod was wound up. I mean, like, I could tell he was wound tight. He was ready to get up and speak. And they said they wanted me to speak first. And I thought, you know, I got to get something that'll turn Rod loose. See, not get up there and just say what I want to say. And I got up there, and I operated under the gift of exhortation. I started up under, and I started speaking out of the spirit of prophecy. And I'll tell you what. Everybody got shouting and jumping. And when Rod got up there, man, they were jumping out of their skin. He was wound up and gone. I mean, he just... But see, you need to... There are people that actually have ministries of exhortation. They're not called to be a preacher or teacher. There's people who think, and they call themselves in an area, but really they're an exhorter. And if you understand and perfect yourself in that gift, If you can get a good exhorter, Brother Hagin used to use some people to come up and do exhortation. Before he would, like, say, going to minister healing, he'd have somebody say something. And a person would get up. He'd have a minister stand up, and they'd do an exhortation. It'd just get people ready. I'm going to get up and get down and hands laid on me. I'm going to get healed. We need to understand. We don't see these gifts operating in the body. And I'll tell you why. Spirit people and field people don't know anything about it. I don't think about it. We have a lot we don't know about. There's a lot in the Bible that we don't know about. And God's not mad at us on it. But years ago, they understood those gifts. And understand the exhortation gift. It's a powerful thing. God uses some people powerfully in that way, under the anointing that way. And they'll speak by the gift of prophecy. And it is amazing how they can inspire and get people moved into an area that you're trying. You can preach to them all night, you can't get them in that area. And they'll get up there and give that exhortation by the Holy Spirit. It's like, what we were trying to push them into, they just jumped right over it. It's the anointing of God. Hallelujah. You know? So it's important. This is why you want to yield to these things. I believe God could use anybody in the gift of exhortation. Could use anybody in it. And this is why it's important. Because it isn't about putting you on the spot and making, well, you know, I got to say this. I got to go to God wants you to. No, it's, man, God wants to bless somebody in this crowd. God wants to, maybe he wants to bless the whole crowd, or maybe there's certain individuals. Certain individuals, they need to hear something. And you got it for them. This is going to change things for them. And that's what I learned to say. God can speak through me. He can bless people. It isn't about blessing me. You know, people say, well, I look dumb. Well, I've looked dumb a long time, so it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care about that anymore. It isn't about what people think. If I miss it, well, hey, then I've missed it, okay? Big deal. You know, I'm not going to go home, cry under the sheets, suck my thumb and cry tonight. You know, no, I'm going to do it. Yield to it. I will tell you this. I will guarantee you, every one of you at some time, you had something to really bless somebody with. You had it. You may not have known it. It's not criticism. But I want you to get the fact of, man, if he said covet to prophesy, then I'm just going to tell you this. I can't see it where God would not use anyone in that area. Why would he tell us to covet for what you couldn't have? God never had me covet for something I couldn't have. That'd be a, I really want this, but you ain't allowed to have it. Well, what am I wasting my time wanting it for? He does. So hallelujah. You can be, and understand this, it is a supernatural spiritual gift. Supernatural. And God will use you in it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord God, you're so good. And Lord, we need help in these areas, especially, Lord God, in how to instruct and how to help people to flow into these things. How to get people to move over into these areas, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 And the Spirit of the Lord is saying this, for in this day and this time, I desire to move greatly. There is much going on. There is much said. There is much happening. But I have things that I want to speak, and I want to speak them through my people. I want to say things, hallelujah, that's going to strengthen and build up, hallelujah. For you have dreams and desires to arrive to a certain place. You have people and places you want to see a move in. And I can bring words to you that will set things loose in the spirit realm that will bring those things to pass. Words that need to be said in this earth, that need to be said into people, but also words that will speak out into the spirit and change things. And I, the Lord, will use you as a vessel. I, the Lord, will use you. Come after me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to make you a great blessing to many. A great blessing to many. And you'll walk forth with boldness and you'll just be so glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay down the past. Lay down to what you thought you were and rise up to be what you are. Come forth, says the Lord. Hallelujah. For great glory is in you and I want to bring it out so others can see my goodness, my kindness, and mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Beglista cognando menferedege eto, brostida gayala la coten forone anso, le bredo geshishi, laste gagnano ne geshese se ne ita. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. As in the past I have spoken, I speak into the future. You learn of me from the past, but in the future, you're not going to learn of me, you're going to walk with me. Into the future, the things that you learned in the past are to come to reality in this day and in this time, where you will walk with me and we fellowship together, hallelujah. And the things you have seen and known in the Word, they will not be just things on a page anymore, they will be in the knowing, hallelujah, about me, hallelujah. You will know me. Not about me. Hallelujah. For this day and time, there's a great shaking in the earth. And my people, I have a people set apart for me. And they will rise up in this last day. And the earth will be shaken through my spirit operating through them. Hallelujah. And you are part of this last day move. So rise up in expectancy. For great things are on the move and will continue to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, ha ha, ha ha, hallelujah. Yeah, yes, 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 yes. I can see that. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The Spirit's saying there is the gift of the word of wisdom in the Bible. Hallelujah. There is the gift of the word of wisdom. Hallelujah. But there is also a gift of wisdom. Hallelujah. That all my people can have a spirit of wisdom. All my people should have, and in this day and time, hallelujah, long for it, is go after it, hallelujah. By faith, take a hold of the spirit of wisdom, for it will open up to you much to understand and know. It will make you wise in your decisions, wise in the things that you do. Hallelujah. That you will actually live a supernatural life and not just walk along like everybody else walks along. You will walk in a place, hallelujah, that people can literally see and will actually know, hallelujah, that you're operating in a different wisdom. It isn't just having knowledge of things. This is about a way of life. It's about a life. It can be seen because it's God's anointing on people, and that anointing will be seen on you. Hallelujah. Where people will come and ask things. Hallelujah. Because they can see that you're wise in areas and that you can give good instruction. So they will know. Hallelujah. They will be drawn to you and may not even understand why. But they'll be drawn to you in things and come to you. They will have a sense about you that there's something. There's something about that person. They can't lay their finger on it, but they will know. And they will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God will operate through you on their behalf. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. That He will be raised up and lifted up. Hallelujah. And you will rejoice and be glad. And you will shout with a shout because God uses you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you today. Thank you. I just thank you so much, and personally for myself, you being so patient. Oh, Lord God, you're definitely the one we learn patience from, because you are so patient and kind, and you have so been patient with us. And I just want to thank you, Lord. I do want to thank you greatly for giving us a part in this last day in your field. Hallelujah, because it is your field. It's not ours. It's yours. But you have brought us into this kingdom. You have made us servants in this field. And you've given us supernatural abilities to walk and serve in this field. And you've given us a place. And everybody has a place. Everybody. But I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. You've given us all a place. And I just want to thank you for finding us faithful. Finding us faithful of giving us a place. Thank you so much. Lord, your great desire is you said to the church at Corinth, they were supposed to desire early the gifts, especially that they prophesy. Lord, in many ways they were very carnal, but God, you want to use them. And it's just as us today, you want to use us. You want to use us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. To me, it is wonderful to know, Lord God, I don't have to try to get you to want to use me. You want to use me. Hallelujah. You want to use each one here. And we just want to let you know that we're just grateful and thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because, Lord, you didn't have me speak today because you've cast anybody out. You've taken them in. Hallelujah. You're taking us in for more. Taking us in to reach a higher level and a higher place of ministry to be a greater blessing to many. Hallelujah. A greater blessing. Oh, Lord God, and there's so many people, Lord God, that have walked for so many years in this earth, and they really don't even know what blessing's like anymore. They have walked under such hardships of life. Lord, the people walked, Lord, weighted in life, weighted down. Lord God, I want to thank you that you're anointing us to speak words that lift people up. Hallelujah. That cause the bend over to stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, I just want to thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You have set out to use us, and I want to thank you. Lord, in the body of Christ, I ask you, raise people up. Lord, especially, raise up ministers, teachers, and preachers that will come and stand forth, Lord God, proclaiming your glorious word, walking in the supernatural ministries that you've given them. Lord God, causing them to stand and see and understand. Lord God, reaching people, raising up people, Lord God. Hallelujah. Light going forth into this areas of darkness to this earth, Lord God, that line shows forth. Hallelujah. That the wicked will either have to give in or run. Hallelujah. Because the light shines so brightly. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, as we go out today, we go out in the Spirit. We go out with joy. Hallelujah. And we're led forth with peace. Glory to God. I thank you Lord God, hallelujah, for sustaining us in these days and times, hallelujah. Lord God, making us strong to stand, hallelujah. Lord God, hallelujah. Thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.